the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we look at development, we look at the aspect of policy making, aspect of business analysis, and everything that affect our bread and butter. And let's thank Matias Angala with The Twilight. This is a platform that we come up with constructive engagement, constructive criticism too, so that we can find a way on what we need to do, especially when it comes to implementation of policies, especially when it comes to governance issues, and also to look at everything that is not only affecting our bread and butter, but most importantly, to look at the downtrodden, to look at the majority of Namibians, particularly those who are still continue to struggle, especially with inequality, those who are still continue to struggling, especially fighting various battles, either that are linked to the economy, either that are linked to social illness. But what is needed and also what is necessary is that the fact that you are awake, the fact that you are still listening to Eagle FM Namibia, you still have a chance as long as you have a game plan, and also as long as that, you know, you understand that for you to move forward in life, you need to make sure that you respect and work with those who are around you, particularly if you have an ability to choose the right team. Make sure that you have to move forward with people. And there is a saying to say, our life, the manifestation of our life depends on the choices that we have made. The way I am looking, the way I am, it's defined by the choices I have made 5 years ago. And the way you are now, 80% of how you are defined by the choices that you have made. That's why life is a series of choices. And there is a saying that everything that you see were created first in the mind of an individual. Everything that you are using were created first in the mind of an individual. And before they are presented out there, that is including good and bad, that is including your technological devices that you see, and also the weapons that you see. That's why they say human beings have power also to create on earth and also destroy. That's why we speak about choices and indeed, you know, the power that we have. So today, we'll be speaking about corruption. We'll be speaking about, the National Anti-Corruption Strategic Review, especially when we are going to look at what have happened yesterday, especially when various leaders and also public sector officials have to come together and listen to an independent evaluator who look at in terms of implementation of 2021-2025 National Anti-Corruption Strategy. Where are we as a country? What are some of the key development? What are some of the challenges? And also, what are some of the outcomes? And the fundamental question was asked that, do we need a strategy again or we don't need a strategy? Who was more responsible and how was the reaction? And you look at the words of an independent evaluator, you end up realizing that there is actually no difference between what she presented and what African peer review mechanism has presented, what African Development Bank has presented, and also what independent, you know, rating agencies have also presented, particularly when it comes to Namibia, to say we have continued to have the same problem of having policies or having unimplementable policies or having people that think that, you know, they are not nobody can hold them accountable, especially when you are given the responsibility and you are taking it as a second chance. And I was also very happy because In Namibia, we have an aspect of a blame game. If you did something, if I did something, I actually do not want to accept there is an aspect of blaming people. But sometimes it's better for us to sit down and just keep quiet and change. Or maybe just accept that we have made a mistake and we need to move forward. That's why there was a bit of a diplomatic commotion between the administration of ACC and some of public, sector officials. And I was very happy to listen to that engagement and also see the point. And I also started realizing that, you know, when they said ACC officials have to be to leave, I look at the team, particularly the Windhoek, all the best guys that were there. Your hero, investigator. We saw everybody. That in Ambao, everybody was there. And, it's an effective team, but it's a very small team. That is, it's a very, very small team. And I think we are not being fair enough, especially as a country, because we speak about the work, but we don't speak about what we do to this institution. And, it's quite saddening, because these guys, they do not have power to change their laws, but all the blames are going to them. And I think the time we are going to be serious enough is the time whether we are going to have that institution expanded or the time we are saying we do not want it, because what is the use of arming a mouse to go and fight bigger elephants? And at the end of the day, you come and also say the mouse is not effective, although it's just doing within its project plan. And I think it will also be the time, and it was also not really a good thing, because the question that was supposed to be asked, especially there was supposed to be a cabinet member. It's only that the Prime Minister have to leave on very shortly, because the question that we're supposed to be asked is to say, what is the understanding of those who are fragmenting the national treasury, or who are allocating finance? What is the understanding of the work of ACC within the corridors of power? But we are yet to see. We are yet to see how things are going to work out, how things are going to turn out, and also to look at what is being done. And looking at Namibian parliament, you know, honestly, I don't know whether we are becoming like South Africa, whether we are degenerating, because in South Africa they can be fighting on each other, they can be on each other's necks, but they are still passing laws. The EFF and the ANC, they can be on each other's necks, but they are still passing laws. But if you tell an individual to say, up to now, there is no bill which was passed from last year, except the budget, then you really should be concerned, because the fight which happened yesterday in parliament, it's too much. It's not good. It's not really good. It's not healthy for the country. And you know, you start to see people, they are moving out of the land, and it becomes personal. I see my minister of education was very, very, very angry. I did not see Memestine came very angry, like the way she was in parliament yesterday. And it almost became personal, especially when the issue of race came in. Issues of race came in, and also he also started to realize that we did not yet grow to that extent of growing a nation where we coexist. Why do we still look it on each other's skull? And also, after all those years, then we start, you know, speaking like we're in 1930. And it was a fight until, you know, the parliament has to walk away, they have to walk out. And everybody was, it was a degenerating, law-making house, very degenerating. And, one may also ask a question to say, do the parliamentarians think about people that elected them? Why do they still continue fighting? Why do they fight on personal, why do you fight on personal issues? Have we made a mistake on electing some of the parliamentarians? And this should also tell us to say, is it up to us also to blame the citizens? Because what we see is a reflection of what we deploy. And the ineffectiveness of Namibian parliament, or the way it's operating now, is also a reflection on what choices that we have made. We cannot just say all politicians are like that. That is also reflecting on how and who we voted to go to parliament. Because we elected the boxers to go into parliament. We elected the people to go and fight each other. Why? We'll still continue. And it's the same person who can come next election to say, please, David, vote for me because I want to speak for you. And I'm asking myself, who is still speaking for my needs in parliament today? Who is still speaking for my needs? Yes, apart from the debate now on the debate on budget, which is quite a good thing. Apart from that debate, my question is always to say, who is speaking for me in parliament? And are your needs be addressed? And do you guys have conversation with our parliamentarians? And telling somebody, I just do not really know, but I think you'll get time, go and watch that video and also look at how people were exchanging words and also how people wanted to come on each other's neck. And I've never seen, and I'm telling you, I've never seen the anger of our Minister of Education until what I've seen on Parliament. And the question is that why do we become so personal? Why can't we operate at the level of professionalism too? Why do we concentrate much on insults? I know it's an individual, but why do we concentrate much on insults? And how are we going to move? That is the only question that we should ask to say. How are we going to move forward? How are we going to deal with the debates? Is it a delay tactic because people are not prepared to debate about real issues, or is just part of it? And what parliaments do, because our parliament does not, I don't even see. I've seen there was a guy called Bratsinori, but he's a good name. He was a speaker of parliament, deputy speaker of South African parliament, and that guy impressed me the way he dealt with his parliamentarians. He impressed me. I think he's retired now, but he impressed me the way he deal with his parliamentarians, because even the highest, even South African parliament, the most theatric one, he was able to control parliament. But now it's like grade one, and we should really be concerned. We should really be concerned. Somebody said putting people of the levels that are not coming to each other in terms of understanding, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be chaotic. And I also remember there was a certain interview that that James Sankwasa indicated to say, you know, this thing of meritocracy is really necessary. You cannot have a CEO with a master's degree being supervised by a grade 10. They will not understand each other. But the aspect of Namibian parliament, you do not know. But that is the nature of politics. That is the nature of politics. That is what we have to deal with in the next 5 years, unless there is some changes, and unless the rules of parliament are also applied correctly. Because remember, you also have accountability issues. You also have rules and order. You also have rules and order that you have to adhere to. But if things continue the way they are, we should be very sorry about Namibia, particularly in the case of emergency policies which need to be passed to save the country, particularly in the space where issues such as oil and gas are pertinent. But the debate did not yet start. But we have to see how things are going to turn out. So let us look at ShopRite Namibia, then we can come back to you. Shortly. Stay tuned because we are here until the hour of 8.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 10 kg Best Choice Pure White Sugar for only 184 Namibian dollars 99. And 10 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice, only 186 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 8 March 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipuramenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora itatu natu bali o itatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipuramenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 34 minutes past the hour of 6 and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And looking at business and war updates, before we go to the conversation with Director General of Anti-Corruption Commission, it's quite important to look at what is happening, especially that side of Iran, and the world is concerned. And seems like Iran is not going to stop also defending itself soon. because it is stated that there's a lot of things that the world did not see. There's a lot of things that the world did not see, especially when it comes to the underground facilities. Underground facilities, and they said that they've been waiting for this. Because if you look at professors from Iran, especially international relations professor, that giving updates to say Iran did not yet start. They are still using old drones, and are still buying their time to say what has been fired at the neighbors is not the big thing. And things are still yet to come. And you can also look at their updates with dynamic and a lot of information which are coming out there. And we see that there are Namibians too who are still in the Middle East, and we are yet to see. We have to see real information, especially from the Ministry of International Relations, to look at how many are stuck, how many have made it out, how many got assistant, because Middle East is a big business zone, and those are some of the development. It was stated that Qatar has shut down two major state-owned energy facilities after they were damaged in Iranian airstrike, and it's indicated that Qatar halted or stopped production of liquefied natural gas on Monday, sending price to skyrocketing, and has also paused production of downstream natural gas. The damage was contained, and now the operation to assess technically the safety of the facility is underway, said Foreign Affairs spokesperson, that is Mayendi bin Mohammed Al Asari. Staff out there. And I would like you to listen to one of the professors from Iran, particularly in conversation with Channel 4 News. And you also be able to listen at the president of the U.S., Donald Trump, and also see how things are going to turn out. And you know, what is interesting is also that when you look at the level of bombardment that Iran is going under. Look at the level of bombardment that Israel is going under, and the neighbors. And you look at the level of communication that these guys have. You realize that to say, no matter how things are going, it seems like all the satellites are there. People are online. Foreign ministers are updating each other to say this is where we are standing. Presidents are communicating to say this is what we are going to do. And you are just wondering to say, in the world of technology, when there is war, in other countries there is internet shut down, but here in Iran, everything is there. You can see cameras are working. Everything is there. Funerals, people are attending. And there are also those who are going to their businesses. Paramedics are moving. But it's interesting also to see, particularly leaders, to say, where are these guys? And they are talking, are they all underground, or there are certain offices that are still not located, especially looking at that aspect. Let us look at a short update, and also look at what the professor from Iran has to say, particularly in conversation with Channel 4 News. Look at the war update, and we'll also be looking at Donald Trump to say, where is he standing? What is the position of the greatest army in the world by far? And also, what is the end game? Because what is necessary is not the process. What is necessary is the outcome. To say, is the outcome of this war going to leave the world in one piece? Is the outcome of this world going to be dangerous than the Third World War? Is the outcome of this war going also to create a lot of enemies? Because remember, if you have 9,000 Americans who left Iran, I mean who left the Middle East, how many Israelis left the Middle East to their country and from their countries? And how many of the Qataris also left? How many of Namibia want to leave? And who is going to operate those businesses that they were operating? And how are things going to work out? And remember that Etihad, Emirates, Qatar Airline, Qatar Airway, and all the other, airlines in the region are still standing. And somebody was laughing when the Minister of Defense of Italy was also stuck in the Middle East to say, you were supposed to come and protect us here in Italy. Now, you are there stuck. That's why they say they have to use a military jet. I don't know if he arrived or he still tried to find a way to go home, because he was stuck in the Middle East when this thing have started. But the defense minister is the most important minister this time, especially when you have to defend your country, when you have to advise your government on what to do, and also the safety of people. But let us look at this conversation shortly, then we can move forward. Remember, from the hour of 7 there, we'll be in conversation with DG of ECC.
When these acts destroying schools, slaughtering children, it's working quite well. Iran is hammering the Israeli regime in retaliation for its atrocities and its unprovoked war, and it's hammering U.S. positions across the Persian Gulf region for its atrocities and the unprovoked war. And there's been no let up in Iranian responses. And that is because Iranian missile and drone bases are all deep underground and inaccessible to the United States and the Israeli regime. And that's why they take revenge on ordinary Iranians. They've been bombing Tehran and other cities, destroying homes, destroying hospitals, destroying schools, slaughtering children. In one instance, they murdered 165 girls, young girls, at an elementary school, who they've been buried today. So since they cannot defeat the Iranian military, they take their revenge on ordinary Iranians.
It's clearly causing chaos in the Gulf states, particularly with the attacks on energy facilities. Is that part of the Iranian strategy to wage economic war as well?
No, Iran has not taken any responsibility for the strikes on the energy facilities, for example, in Saudi Arabia. That could be something carried out by the Israeli regime. But the Iranians have told tankers that they are not allowed to leave the Strait of Hormuz. And when these Arab regimes in the Persian Gulf, when they give the United States military bases to use against Iran, then there are consequences. They cannot have their cake and eat it too. They cannot participate in aggression against Iran alongside this Epstein coalition and then sit back and say we're neutral.
Right, but you're not denying the other attacks, are you, in other Gulf countries which do affect energy supplies, and the oil price has gone up significantly. So I mean, that does seem to be part of the Iranian military strategy, isn't it? I mean, to try and bring them into the war and regionalize it.
No, Iran has been targeting U.S. assets in the Persian Gulf, and those assets could be anything that's linked to the United States. The United States is bombing hospitals. The United States is bombing schools. The United States is bombing Iranian national radio and television alongside the Israeli regime. So U.S. assets in the Persian Gulf, they too will be attacked. But assets that belong to the states in the Persian Gulf region, they have not been touched by the Iranians. However, if they host U.S. forces, because many of the soldiers have left their bases and been taken to hotels, the Iranians will target them. So at the end of the day, if they want this problem to end, they have to expel soldiers of the Epstein regime.
Now, we understand that the Assembly of Experts is trying to appoint a new supreme leader. Could a new leader, do you think, negotiate with Trump and agree to his terms?
No. Iran is not interested in negotiating with Trump or the U.S. regime. Iran is going to punish the United States, and we are in the process of doing it. This regime in Washington has tried to cross a bridge that's a bridge too far. and they're messing with the wrong country. We're not Venezuela. We're not Iraq. We're not Libya. We're not Afghanistan. And we're not Syria. This is the Islamic Republic of Iran. And we will make sure that the United States regrets the aggression against the Iranian people and the slaughter of children and the slaughter of innocent civilians.
There is more, and I would also want you to listen to the update, the whole update, especially from the President of United States of America, that is Mr. Donald Trump, especially when it comes to the whole update, so to see how is the situation when. How is the situation on the ground, especially especially when it comes to what is happening on the ground of Iran, and also to look at that things are intensifying. It's intensifying because Iran is saying, guys, is telling Israelis to say, the citizens must leave towns. And now, you know, you do not even know and understand now that, who is right and who is wrong and, if it's a threat or it's a real thing to say, leave the towns. And it's also becoming chaotic because, even the citizens now, they are also asking their government to say, what are you guys getting us into? Because when the big men are fighting, it's those smaller men who are suffering. It's the grasses which is suffering because the citizens themselves are the ones who are paying the price. And you do not know what will happen, how long it's going to take. Was it a miscalculation? Was it a real war? And if you really have to ask a genuine question, you also try to understand to say, if it takes... It takes just a few days to attack and, or it takes few hours to capture Venezuelan president. And, also it take just few planes to take out a Libyan leader, Colonel Gaddafi. And, it took also almost the whole army in Iraq, and it's almost impossible to penetrate Iran. Do we still have other many countries that can also challenge the strategy of a superpower? Do we still have other countries that can still challenge the strategy of a superpower? Because it is not, and everybody can see that it's not how it has been predicted. We have a lot of information going on, but I want you to listen to what the President of America has to say. Especially looking at what is happening.
We're doing very well on the war front, to put it mildly, I would say. Somebody said, on a scale of 10, where would you rate it? I said about a 15. And we're going to continue to do well. We have the greatest military in the world by far. And that was a tremendous threat to us for many years. 47 years they've been killing our people and killing people from all over the world. And I think we have great support. And I think if we didn't do it first, they would have done it to Israel and give us a shot if that was possible. And if we didn't terminate the worst deal, one of the worst deals ever made, the Obama nuclear deal, I call it the Obama nuclear deal, where he gave everything to Iran, including a nuclear weapon. It was a road to a nuclear weapon. Bad things would have happened 4 years ago because they would have had a weapon 4 years ago if I didn't terminate that deal. So we're in a very strong position now, and their leadership is just rapidly going. Everybody that seems to want to be a leader, they end up dead. And it's an amazing, amazing thing that's taking place before your eyes, because for 47 years, we were pushed around, and we shouldn't have been. And I think I can say, and you see it as well as I do, you see the tremendous progress that's being made. Their missiles are being wiped out rapidly. Their launchers are being wiped out. They're attacking their neighbors. They're attacking their in some cases allies or not so long ago allies. And, you know, it's really a nation that was out of control, and they would have used it on us if we let them, if we waited any longer. A big factor was Soleimani, the killing of Soleimani in my first term. And maybe the biggest factor was the rebuilding of the military in my first term. And then the B-2s hit the, and I use the word obliterate because it really was, it was a complete obliteration of their nuclear potential. And that set them back very, very seriously. If we didn't hit within 2 weeks, they would have had a nuclear weapon. If we didn't do the B-2 attack a number of months ago, they would have a nuclear weapon. And when crazy people have nuclear weapons, bad things happen. So we're in very good shape now. I want to let you know that, and we will continue forward. But it's a great display of military strength, and I'm very proud to have, with some of the people in the room, both senators and congressmen, we rebuilt, and women, we rebuilt our military during the first term, and we're using it a little bit more than I thought we would have to. Venezuela worked out really great. We have a wonderful relationship with the president and the various representatives, and we're taking out hundreds of millions of barrels of oil, and that goes to our benefit and to Venezuela's benefit. They'll be doing better than they've ever done before, and we will get a big piece of that, and we'll also make life wonderful for the people of Venezuela who have been very, very badly hit. So that's a lot said in a short period of time, but you can witness it for yourself.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening at the war front. And, you know, the good thing about being a president is that, you know, you just give instruction, you command, you stay under full protection. Then the work is being done by the military men. And in military, whether you like the mission or you don't like the mission, you have to comply. There is no, I know my right, I know my right, whether you are happy or you are not happy. You look at the instruction, and that is what you have signed for. Whether you leave your family, you die in the battleground. And that's why you see even women. See one of the jet fighter women who was whose plane was shot down. It's a young female. It's a young female. Then you see that this war, it's not only fought by men. It's not only about men. It was women. What the war front, who are flying those jet fighter, how many people know, who knows the numbers? Because when you speak about equality now, even in the military, how many of them have also participated in the bombing of other women and children? Because you don't know. Because it looks like, when you look at this, what people think it's only men who are there. You also have women, young ladies. And, the question should be also asked to say from both sides, how many of them have participated in the bombing and killing of children. Who knows who launched those rockets that killed 150 ladies? Maybe it's a woman, just for the sake of saying. Maybe it's a woman. But that is how dynamic the war is. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Shonde.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, my esteemed counsel. you know, when sometimes when you come in,
yeah.
We are coming in at 2, no, it's 10.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that even when we are interacting with you,
yeah,
try to interact and, you know, this kind of thing and hearing those things.
Yeah.
Current affair.
Yeah.
So it's something painful, you know.
Yeah.
So because you see from the President of America, different. The reason I think why the Iranians and all these people are telling their people to go out of city,
yeah,
is because from the beginning, the Iranians, they have never been bombing cities. They were targeting those facilities.
Mm.
So now, and for the Americans, they are killing the people in the street.
Mm.
Is that what you want now? So if they were, they can just be looking I understand the effort of negotiation and what. So it means that he's even talking about this credit system and how they sign deals and all these things to just kill people.
You know the one thing I've seen about the U.S. administration is that after everybody, this one is saying no, David administration was worse. When David come back, he said no, Obama's administration was the worst one. And there is always like this, especially DA and Democrats and Republicans.
I'm asking myself and yourself.
Mm.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I was listening to Tate Kalomo. I understand this issue. But even when it comes I know people are too old, my friend.
Hmm.
But I just wanted to give you my reasoning on the why the people are telling their people to leave the city.
Hmm.
It's because when you look at those issues since the war began, it's only the facilities, the military facilities that were targeted.
But the thing is, there is no justified war, and it's also very difficult now to find out the truth about the truth, because there is also a war of narrative, because they are also fighting a war in people's mind. You understand?
I'm not justifying any crime or any war or anything.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that when you now bomb the civilians and all these things, even when there was war, wherever here, even us, ours was more intense and very difficult.
So this one was more difficult than me.
Ours, yes. We were fighting for the NATOs, the Western terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine how South Africa was well equipped. Which country here, even now in Africa here, can stand against South Africa?
No, they are saying it was the greatest army at that time.
Ours, it was very intense, and it was just because the leadership was intact. And then Indian people, they knew that they wanted to have the freedom, to taste the freedom.
But you also admitted that from both sides there were also casualties that could have not happened.
Of course, because that was a justified war.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about this one. Is not justifiable. So the one that you are fighting, go to your Bible, is justified.
No, why are they saying there is no justified war? Because there is a failure of diplomacy. They say that when diplomacy fails, then people enter into war. That's why there is no.
In our own case. We were also telling them, no, please.
In our case, diplomacy failed also.
No, in our case, diplomacy, there was no structure.
No, there was diplomacy. You guys started with petition. Was that not diplomacy? Diplomacy failed.
Yeah, but that war was already declared on military front. Even though the petition, we have been making petition.
Mm.
But then, if it couldn't have taken place, I don't know where Namibia could have been.
Now, were you watching Parliament yesterday?
Yes, I watched Parliament
yesterday. What is your observation? Are we moving somewhere?
On the bills that some people are passing, some people are demonstrating.
No. It's a fight between our ministers and Wetaruhe is Kandorudu. you did not watch?
No, I watched. There was a confusion, the commotion that I watched. No?
Mm-hmm.
When the way people were... No, I think you... this one, yesterday I watched, but I did not watch that particular live.
I want you to go and check it and also come back to see what's really happening in Namibian Parliament and what are the leaders of political parties or chief whips are saying, because it's chaotic and our Minister of Education was very angry.
What? The Minister of Education?
Yeah. Very, okay. Very. People walked out of Parliament yesterday.
She walked out of the parliament.
Everybody, it was very chaotic.
So you see, I see that walking out of parliament, demonstrating that that aspect cautiously. But I don't know.
Just hold on.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
What's not to love about the USAVE's special end of February combo? For just 589 Namibian dollars, you can get 10 kilogram bags of each of the following essential foods: Champion Super Maize Meal, Nice Rice Power Boiled Rice, Bokoma Fit Cooked Flour, and Marathon Brown or White Sugar. That's just 589 Namibian dollars for four 10 kilogram bags of essential products. Yes, we all save at USAVE.
In summary?
No, except when you are put at the corner to for self-defense.
Yeah.
Like I say, maybe justification.
Yeah.
And the other thing, that one I did not watch.
Yeah.
But I will talk today with Mr. Matiasha.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, I don't know how that one came up
mm-hmm.
from the parliament,
mm-hmm.
but we were making reference to some of the old tactics.
Mm.
Where people want to fight, they are even saying that, yeah, let's meet outside. This is not, why is saying that? Let's meet outside because of the boxing ring and all this other thing. Yeah,
the other time was boxing between, it's not really a boxing, it was a commotion between Professor Job and Deputy Minister of Education, Dino Barotti. And yesterday it was, Vetero Hekandrodhu and the two ministers of education, and it was
Kandrodhu is from where now? Is it the?
I think it's Nondo, ne?
Excuse me.
It's not Nondo. What? I think yeah.
Nondo.
Yeah.
Oh, so what? But tell us, what was the problem?
You know what?
Which I watched yesterday.
I think it should not be a good thing to present that even in public. Well, what is necessary is that we need to look at what we can do better, because that is degeneration. How can we continue publicizing degeneration of parliament?
You see, that's what I was telling today. Yeah. With morning, we are talking about leadership, example leadership.
Yeah.
And there's some kind of, I was talking about some of this, we're talking about just how we socialize ourselves.
Yeah.
And basically the children, how they were socialized and things like that, to coexist and things like that. In parliament, there are also rules there. The rules are there.
And the question is,
for example, if you fight, if you fight and you come to the level of being, I mentioned that if you fight at work, it's summarily dismissal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Summarily dismissal. Not that you are going to be dismissed for today only. It's summarily dismissal.
Mm.
So the same disciplinary value.
This one was not a physical fight, just a war of words.
So it must not degenerate into chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Chaotic where the system will then be paralyzed. And everybody what I'm saying is that there is a point, I think that one is very important. I will have to look at it. All I'm saying is that whether you are coming from the whatever, that respect and the rule of law, in the office, the extent of the authority of the office. Thank you, Matt David.
All right, thank you. Yeah, there's you know, there's always aspect of law and order, and in the game of democracy, when you're in the battle of democracy, there are captains that because you know, in any game, it's very rare to see a captain getting a red card, because your job is to make sure that you are the coach in the field. You make sure that you are the coach in the field. You make sure that a captain is somebody who provides leadership and also solving conflict. That's why in every game that you see, when fights start in the soccer field, it's only captains who come and talk and discuss to say, no, guys, move your guys. This one was wrong. Let's talk to the referee. In the case of parliament, you also have captains. You have chief whips. Chief whips were supposed to whip there are members that are not behaving, and they are not whipped with a whip. They're supposed to counsel them and also indicate to them on the rules what need to be done. But if things are just degenerating and you don't even know who is the chief whip, because chief whip were supposed to be the one that are discussing this issue. They're supposed to be the one that are meeting, and they're supposed to be the one that are giving direction, because the role of a chief whip in parliament, you are the leader there, and you are providing direction. And you are heading caucus. And, you know, when things are degenerating and our kids are suffering on the ground, people are fighting, are calling each other name. They are calling each other based on color. And our people are suffering in the street. Our people are still demonstrating without food. Then you understand that we have a long way to go. You are even distracting the Minister of Education. Here we are waiting for clear information on subsidization of education and also establishment of those stadiums. Now, the Minister is angry. Everyone is angry. And we have never seen that before. And it's actually not a good thing. And I say, you know, Namibians, we like negative things. You see, people are very happy. And they are seeing that as a comedy. But by the time we wake up, things are gone. By the time we wake up, our economy is destroyed. By the time we wake up, we are overtaken by a lot of countries. By the time we wake up, our economy grow below even 2%, because it has always been opposite of what we predicted. By the time we wake up, we have 1% in oil and petroleum and in oil and gas, because instead of us debating on the amendment bill, we are looking at on each other based on colors, names, and entitlement to say you are entitled to the country. And you know, if you just want to provoke a person, it's not even a matter of provocation to say somebody who was born in Namibia, maybe 1990, by Indian parents. Or just, that person has the right to become a president of Namibia. He has the right to do that. Why do you think Obama become a president of, why do you celebrate Obama become a president of USA? And you don't want, people based on their, who said we are entitled to this country? Because we also found, the Sun people own this land. But things that happened yesterday, honestly, I think our parliamentarians should hear us that we are disappointed. We are disappointed. We are really disappointed. And maybe they can do more than that. They can do better than that. We are disappointed. Even the level of engagement, we are disappointed by everybody who is there. There's no saint or victims. People must just work. They must work, all of them must work, because we elected them to go to parliament, not to fight, not to be emotional, not to be insulting each other, but we elect them to operate within those rules. But if they are not able to do that, then we have a long way to go. So that is the content, especially what happened yesterday. It was really something that needed to be, and I think the leaders of political parties must sit and talk. To say, guys, where are we driving, Ogesa? Because remember, we have one of the most diversified parliament ever. Youth and almost no dominating party in terms of power of making laws, and maybe the most educated parliament that we have in Namibia. We have professors and doctors, young people, combination, young generations are they, or people of all the sectors, and that is a diversity of Namibia. But what we see outside is something else. You have everybody there. You have the veteran of the struggle. You have the middle age. You have post-independence. You have 2000. You have everybody. Every class is represented. You have Generation Z. Everybody is represented there. But what you see is not good. And somebody was saying, but yeah, let's go forward. Let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll listen to the conversation with the DG for Anti-Corruption Commission. And stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota enjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are today in the studio with Director General of Anti-Corruption Commission, especially to reflect on what have happened yesterday, particularly when ACC, together with also national stakeholders, were reviewing the national anti-corruption strategies that does not only include the ACC, but also other stakeholders such as OMBAS, Office of the Governors, and also other institutions such as UNDP, just to give us a reflection and also to look at the fight for corruption and also strengthening of institution moving forward. So, Director General, Mr. Pyrus Noah, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Yes, maybe just to start with, let us look at reflection, particularly from yesterday, especially when it comes to the review of 2021-2025 National Anti-Corruption Strategy. What are some of the key points that you can say you have pointed out, and also the reflection from you as a DG of ACC?
All right, thank you very much. To start with, the meeting yesterday was about giving reports on the progress that has been made in terms of the implementation of the strategy. Mm-hmm. The meeting was a meeting of the steering committee, which is comprised of ministers, heads of institution, especially the executive officers of the institutions, and the other senior officials of various institutions, private and public sector institutions, including, of course, the civil society. Because the strategy make provision for an annual meeting to update the members of the steering committee on the progress which has been made. Because the objective or responsibility of the steering committee is to monitor and evaluate the progress that has been made. Mm-hmm. But then yesterday's meeting was unique in the sense that it also coincided with the ending of the strategy, because the strategy is ending in 2025, and the development of a third national anti-corruption strategy. For that, there were very constructive contributions that came from the participants, because they wanted to recommit themselves even more on the development of the third national anti-corruption strategy, and also recommit themselves more on the fight against corruption. Yeah, there was a independent consultant who was tasked to evaluate the progress which has been made, and then she really pointed out the success and challenges that came along with the implementation of the strategy. And this is what informed us on how and at what extent we needed to move as we are engaged in the development of a next strategy, meaning that there will be some considerable improvement from what has been done now. This current strategy had so many actions, and some of the actions seems to have been repeating each other. And this time around, we really want to come up with well-informed actions and indicators that are implementable and well-measurable.
Yeah, and there's an aspect of saying, especially when it comes to implementation of the national strategy, it was not the role of ACC alone, but in terms of budget allocation, was a specific budget that allocated to the whole national strategy that every stakeholders must take from, or is just a strategy on its own? How was it funded?
Yes, you are very right. That was a concern of many of the participants, and it's also the concerns of the Anti-Corruption Commission, because what happens is that they have not been a budget allocation specifically for the implementation of the strategy. And this has been a concern. The understanding has been that each institution must just consider a portion of its budget and allocate this to the activities relating to anti-corruption implementation of the strategy. And the institution, many of the institutions find it not so quite easy, because look, their budget was already committed to other activities, and as a result, while they have good ideas of what they want to do in terms of the implementation, their budget could not really allow them to implement such activity because of financial constraints. But as we are moving forward, we want every institution to have a full understanding right at the beginning that from the budget that is allocated to you, each institution must make sure that at least a certain portion of the budget must be set aside for anti-corruption activities, because this institution have got specific actions that must be implemented by their institution. It's not by the Anti-Corruption Commission. Anti-Corruption Commission can also set aside a certain portion from its budget that is dedicated to the implementation of the strategy. But it does not mean that the other institution should receive funding from ACC.
Yeah.
We don't have enough funding.
Okay.
So you know that we are the least funded institution.
Okay, let us talk the aspect of the budget before we move forward, before we go to the last question. The President of the Republic of Namibia indicated that, corruption in Namibia is treason. But we also see from the public, looking at the trend, like the appropriation for 2025-2026 was at 116 million. Now we see that the budget now is at 119 million appropriation. Then somebody also asked to say, how do you fight treason with that small amount of money? How are you going to utilize that amount of money with the workload that you have, and also maybe to touch a little bit on the work staff that you have and the work ahead of you that you have, and also for people to see what your institution is also dealing with?
Yeah, I agree with you. That is really a concern. The budget is not quite adequate, though the limited amount allocated to us is what we are going to utilize to make sure that we maximize on our efforts. The other positive indication is that the Minister of Finance has already made an indication, I should rather call it a commitment, that should any urgent matter arise that may need additional funding for the ACC, we may approach her so that the authorities could consider injecting more money. Especially because sometimes you may come across a case where you needed to appoint this external forensic auditor to analyze certain transactions. And, this analysis can be very expensive. Those are the area where we may need additional funding so that we can execute our mandate.
Yeah. Just final. Let us look at the future of ACC. In other institutions, they have FBI, they have other agencies which are fighting corruption. You are somebody who has been at the helm of the institution for a very long time. Where do you want to see ACC beyond 2030? What are some of the improvements that you want to see? Given, let's look at the fact that there will be consideration of budgeting. Where do you want to see it, and what is the vision for the institution moving forward? Let's look at 10 years, whether you are there or you will be found with another responsibilities.
Oh, yes. My vision, whether I'm there or not, I want this institution to continue, growing in terms of staff component especially. And we have already started with that process. You know, years back, we did not have some of the unit that we have today. Today, we have a unit that deal with forensic analysis. It just came on board 2 years ago. Last year, we set up another unit that deal with this money laundering. And one of the consideration on the budget is that that money should be used to now recruit. We have already started with the process of recruitment, but now, as I said, that I want to see this unit growing. Mm-hmm. The number of staff complement that we have today must start growing, mm-hmm. and not only that, I foresee also anti-corruption commission being expanded to all regions. Mm-hmm. Mind you, we are not in all regions of the country, but then of course we needed to take service to the people. We do not have just to concentrate on these few regions where we are, like we are in Oshana, we are in Chodonchupa, we are in Erongo, we are in Kavango East. But we want to expand to all other regions as well. Yeah, and that can only happen if there is an improvement in the budget of the Anti-Corruption Commission.
Okay, DJ, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, that was Director General of Anti-Corruption Commission, and that is his vision for the institution. You have heard what have happened. You have heard what have happened, particularly at the strategic review. And I want to take you, especially with the word of UNDP representative to Namibia. This meme Amanda Kambeinja. Serumanga. She indicated that there has been progress in Namibia when it comes to fighting of corruption, but not on the scale of that the public is waiting for. Not on the scale that the public has been waiting for. And she has indicated that the citizen want to feel it. The citizen want to feel that corruption has been, addressed. And the other thing that was also stated by her, Meme Serumanga, has indicated that, when it comes to Transparency International Index, corruption in Namibia, we are still at the 49 index. And between 2016 and 2019, we were at 15. We moved from 51 to 53. And looking at that aspect, and reading this scale, you must be able to understand that the high number you have, the less corruption you have. But below 50 is still called moderate. But when you are at 15, at 1, and highly corrupt. But in sub-Saharan Africa, maybe I continue to be also in this ranking, which is quite not a very good thing, especially when it comes to strengthening of institution. To say there is a lot which have been done, but not only that it is felt, it's only done at maybe at an institutional level, at policy reform level, but not at the level that the citizen can be able to feed it. And looking at what the Prime Minister has indicated the aspect of cooperation between ACC, Financial Intelligence Center, Auditor General's Office, and also Ombudsman. And really, the office that people do not speak about, Auditor General's Office, it was supposed to be the point of departure, because this is the office which all those years it has been giving information to the public to say, at this local authority, 2 million has not been accounted for. At this municipality, 5 million has not been accounted for. But where do we take actions from that? Can we give Auditor General a power, maybe to have a small court or prosecutor ask? Because if you look at the books being presented, and I think Tate Kanjege is a disappointed guy, especially with our public sector. When you look at his books, with the good thing about him, he's doing his job, he's done. He's presenting to say, no, I'm here town council, whichever village council, these are your books. This is 2 million which was not accounted for. This is 5 million was not accounted for. Then when we hear that, we just go back to sleep. Had this institution have a very strong cooperation, they're working together. Have they been given power by a parliamentarian instead of fighting each other, who is a Namibian, who is not a Namibian? Then we would be somewhere. Because these are the institutions that, if they cooperate, and those are the words of the Prime Minister, to say cooperate, and it's only through cooperation when things will be done with strength, unlike working in silo. But before we go forward, let us look at Express Credit. Then we push forward.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yeah, you can call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You can give your contribution, you can give your constructive criticism, and also look at what can we do moving forward. Do we have a political will in Namibia to fight treason, that is corruption, and who is defending the budget, and what do people feel when we give an institution? Imagine giving an FBI. Just go and look at the example of agencies. Look at, go to South Africa, look at the example of agencies. Then you realize that, yes, good morning.
David, it's me back, because your adult learners and the young learners are not calling.
No, they are listening. Apparently they take note.
Yeah, to take note.
Yeah.
When are you going to help us now, who are learners, still learners, to catch up?
Come again?
So, yeah, nevertheless, you know, we discussed that thing, anti-corruption and little funding.
But why do you think that is happening? It's even a good question for you.
Yeah, so that's why last time I suggested that, you see, the people who are in the structure.
Structure of what?
The business structure. I'm not talking about when you are now going to create structure and centralize the things. But as we talk now, there are people who are within the structure who can help, who might have detected most of those multi-administration and things like that. And because, remember, there was a time when Tatenoa was interviewed, when people were so concerned with the administrative law. So, because now NDC, when we say this is your responsibility, and they push it back to the stakeholders.
No, it's the same thing, because if you want to see that. He knows what he's doing. You know what he said yesterday? He told everybody there to say, in Namibia, I'm not scared of everybody. It's only that the institution is small and the person is underfunded. He's not scared of everybody. He will come and pick you up anytime. You can come and pick me up anytime, as long as he has the resources.
Yeah, no problem. That power,
why do you think the government is not allocating enough money to anti-corruption commission?
Okay, so that's what I suggested last time.
No. Why do you think is that? I just answered the question. Why do you think are they not seeing any importance?
That's already motivated this small budget. We talked about it with me and you.
No. Let's go there very slowly. Because you have been calling. I want you to answer that question also. Why is the government not allocating enough money to anti-corruption commission?
Because, I think from the government perspective, I'm not speaking to them. From the government perspective, what I think is that, and not only the government, state-owned enterprise.
No. Let's just go there. Let's just go to government.
Yes, because they are part of the government.
No. There are people who are discussing budget. There are people who sit in cabinet and say, I'm from education. Please give me this amount of money. This is what I have. I'm from defense. I need this to protect. This is what. But who defend that we should cut from this ACC?
So if you use the what you use in gender and gender budget planning and gender. This mechanism. So if your little money is there, and you know it's there, and I think you mentioned of getting back again so that you can motivate more. So you do more with the little that you have, you maximize your benefit. Like I said, the government has already, everybody there.
So you think it's correct to investigate a 1 billion case with 100 million?
So that made him to become ineffective in which
no, way? I'm just asking.
In addressing the administrative law,
I'm just asking.
Which is the ministry.
No, I'm just asking. Do you think the money is enough?
No, the money is not enough. That's
then why are we not giving the money? But it's fine. I'm just asking. It's okay.
He must not let himself say why. Because he's not even dealing with administrative malfunction.
No, he's pushing
that function to the ministry and the state, all guns and all this other thing.
You
want us to progress now and people in the public. We are talking about public administration.
But you know that the working staff is not even more than 100.
The what?
The working staff.
Why can't you then create more structure? If you cannot create more structure because of the small funding, use the existing structure and the personnel who are already employed. You can give them some incentive. You see how you can recruit them. So that's what we are saying. Use the existing structure. Now you want to work with the stakeholder, but you are not using the structure.
Which
structure, what does that mean now?
Which structure are you talking about?
The structure that is there. So all the stakeholders that is talking about, they have got functioning structure.
The stakeholders yesterday, they are saying they are scared of going to, the field. ICC must go there.
Yes, because they are not protected.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, we are moving forward. And nobody's speaking about that. Maybe we should park it somewhere there. But yeah, it's an institution. It's money. There's no money. But the question of political will should always be there to say, do we really have a political will? Do we have somebody? Can we make it independent? Can you look at the budget of America? I know America is the richest country in terms of money. But in terms of budget proportion, do you think FBI just got 0.001% of the budget, regardless of the work that it's doing? It's only that we don't have FBI, but we have an agency that was supposed to complement others. Its job is specific and very clear. But that should be the debate of another day. That should be the debate of another day. And also maybe to look at parliamentarians, while they are busy fighting, we have a lot of things to address. We have a lot of things to look into. And, it's concerning. But once we start pointing out challenges, then we'll see what we can do. You know what I want to be done, especially looking at what I have seen yesterday. Look for somebody independent and evaluate your progress. Let's take, for example, NDP5. Look for independent consultant, Namibian, and I was very happy to see people from around independent consultant who can come and look at the document to say, this were the objective of NDP6, NDP5. This was the progress. These are the results. These are the challenges. The recommendations are, councillors should implement this one. Governor should implement this one. Chief regional officer should do this. And everybody should do this. The young people must do this. Because what happened yesterday, it was interesting because numbers don't lie. If you have somebody who is an analytic evaluator, who use numbers and qualitative and quantitative too, to look at what have been done, then it's easy for you to see your mistake. Because if you call somebody independent, because what have happened yesterday was interesting because numbers were pointed out. And also to see that some people did not have enough information. To see that some senior members, they only attend meetings for the sake of attending or delegating somebody. Just for the sake of delegating. And there is nothing that can assist you more than having somebody independent evaluating you. And it's the same because we, by nature, we have ability to point mistakes from other people. It's the same thing when you are doing a certain project, when you write something, at least give somebody to go through. Because he or she always will be able to point out one or two things. That is why that of who can come and evaluate independently is easier to follow. Because if you take NDP6 implementation plan, the last, let me say it's 1 year. When you take that NDP6, then that 1 year, when you take it and study it to say, this is what you were supposed to implement within a year. These are some of the challenges. It's easier done at the first phase than going to evaluate when it's done. Because when you do it at the first phase, then you can already see that you guys are moving at 120% or you guys are still at 5%. Then it's easy for people to accelerate. That's why monitoring and evaluation should not only be something fancy that we speak about. We say, no, we need monitoring and evaluation. And everybody now is speaking about monitoring and evaluation, assessment and all these things. What happened after monitoring and evaluation and assessment? Is there any change? Is there any accountability which is being caused? But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to come and continue with the conversation for today.
Lipuranenge lo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipuranenge lo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile
Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumuna oijabu ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafilane, egelethel, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism.
Kapen ondando da falada Shoprite aloho kukunine ondando da wapivi ni pumbiwa esiku OKG omlogo dosuka ontokere your best choice kodora esiro mirongo hetatu nani no sendo mirongo wino we oshuwa OKG omlogo the rich raw king raw forketata kodora esiro mirongo hetatu na hamano no sendo mirongo wino we ino futashi wulithe po Shoprite price filigosi waga hetatu hamarita nuvo ko Shoprite akuke waimina already steady cook ko one Africa no mapaduro ku Shoprite Namibia.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe ya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe dana mibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG imwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shiche ndeto SMS o shicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Meals.
Encouraging critical, constructive and positive criticism.
It's 46 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. Let's look at the caller. Hello?
Yes, Mr. David Chombe.
Yes. Good morning. Morning, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, sir. Thank you. Where should I touch the Iranian war, the parliament of Namibia?
we can start with parliament. Let's start at home.
Yes. I will start at home making reference to what is happening on the other countries. Yes, Namibians, we have been getting carried away in a very long time. Because what it tells me, it means there are people who have ideas to build the country. Or who are educated, let me say, there are people who are educated in parliament, like, so to say, the combination of now parliament is with young people.
Yeah.
But still, what is manifesting is not even what used to happen in all the parliament. So, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not going to mention names. If you see the Facebook pages of some of these parliamentarians, or people who are campaigning to the opposition or whether the ruling party. If you see their pages on Facebook and other social media, they are well decorated with good words, very good words. But what is happening? I'm not a politician by nature, but what our country is going through, we are bringing the generations to come. We are not taking care of, we are not taking care of the next generation.
Are we moving? Are we moving back? What is the cause of this?
You know, there are so many causes. Because I think, so to say, as being Namibians, black people, obviously, there is a lot of discipline which is needed. We also need to learn how to work together towards a common ideology. Because it seems like when one is pulling this side, the other one is pulling on the other side, and it doesn't work like that. Now, what happens is, we should appreciate we have a peaceful country. By then, as the population grows, people will emanate, and then people will look at different things differently. For instance, so to say, is when we are here trying to fight, it's when the enemy also gets a chance to get in the mid between us. Look at the countries with civil war. And someone will come and say, oh, these people are not, you see how you are going through these things.
Yeah,
because I remember the words of, I'm just in the mid-30s, but I'm trying to follow history now because...
No, it's like good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, because now Peter Bribota is trying to prove us that us black people cannot manage ourselves because we could have moved. What I'm saying, we could have moved by now, by what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to pass this stage long ago, and we're not supposed to have these parliamentarians fighting. If we, people are fighting at parliament now, what do you expect on the ground?
Yeah. No, I think PW Botha, we were very angry, but we are not proving him wrong. We were supposed to prove him wrong, but now we are, those words are manifesting to say we cannot do anything.
We cannot do anything as black
people. And this end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to take ownership of this country, especially when it comes to, food security that I was talking the other day, our education system. I think it's where we are lacking most. This is just my own general opinion. I think what we are supposed to do, we're supposed to focus more on handwork. I mean by handwork, our education system, I know we are given this system to suppress us, for us to move any way forward.
Yeah.
What we are supposed to do right now.
Yeah.
Is to focus more on handwork. We should not just be like Venezuela, who is just on beauty pigeons. Even our youth people, if you find them on the street with long nails, with a haircut, very nicely, but just imagine, we are depending on the food which is coming from abroad. And what happens, the real truth is, if Europe shut down, for instance, for instance, it should not shut down for goodness sake. We are going to feel the heat. Honestly speaking, we are going to feel the heat because we rely too much on those donors, on those foods that are coming from there, for them to put us to order. We are supposed to do these things long ago because we never know what tomorrow holds. Now, the government should move ahead and make our vocational training centers a very, very strong institution for it to train the youth people. It's very, very needed.
Indeed. And these guys must be given tenders also. That's why do you need somebody to come and fix the pipeline at school where you have a graduate from that school who is not working? Yeah, even electricity wiring people, why can't you use your own people? Why can't you communicate with VTC to say, I need 100 artisans here, we are starting a new mine, or we have an industry, so that things can move fast?
Things need to move fast. We know it's a process. It's a process that has to be gone through. It's not going to take a time of 10 years, not even 20 years.
Yeah.
By then we need to start somewhere. Because my suggestion is, we have these natural resources.
Yeah.
Instead, the government was supposed to take an initiative, so to say.
The
vocational people, be it those that are doing electrical, mechanical, boiler making, whatsoever. We were supposed to develop scientists from this institution. They were supposed to go check how the things have been done at the mines there.
Whatever is
happening there, the government was supposed to send people out there. And also one thing, instead of us having, do you know how China built their country? It was very impressive. These people in the VTCs that are learning, they were just supposed to go through a qualified engineer. And then we can construct our roads or even our industries, our buildings with these people. Instead of forking out a lot of money going to tenders, we're supposed to use these people so that they can learn how to do the things. And then pass on the knowledge to the generation to come. Now what happened? People are leaving school and then they go struggle. They become criminal of sort of kinds because you know when you are suffering, you can come up with anything to survive.
No, you get
I'm not supporting criminality, by then the government is also creating criminality.
No, look, yeah, is the situation also create criminality. Poverty and criminality, they are cousins. Some people, they end up doing what is something up. I agree with you. I could not agree with you more, especially when you speak about the aspect of long term. It looks like we are not also patient enough. We are not patient in building things, because if we really want something to stand, even the aspect of oil, there are countries who said, okay, we have oil. What can we do? What is 20 years looking like? What is 10 years looking like? What is 30 years looking like? Yes, we have green hydrogen, but what is 10 years looking like? Let us not just say, no, guys, if we are not moving fast, somebody will not come and invest in us. And that thing destroyed us, because after 5 years, people are now, in 2 years' time, people will think about their next political career. They will not think about project. Do you understand that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How you're thinking. Because the patience, we don't have it. But we need to start somewhere.
Indeed.
Because we need to be patient. Because we are not doing this for ourselves. We are doing it for the next generation. I've heard clips of President Donald Trump. When he speaks, those people, they will tell you, the people of America. That's the only thing they will say, the people of America. And they will tell you, when you have ownership, you take control of the ownership. That is what he says. And when he speaks, he's not even talking about 10, 20 years, he's talking about 100 years. He's saying, even to him, leasing land for 100 years is not even enough. You understand what I'm trying to say?
No,
he knows he's not going to be alive after 100 years.
No, people, they think about the future,
I don't think they think about the future. So my advice to the government, get the politicians who are listening today, especially the Minister of Education and others, they should relook in those things to revive the vocational training centers and also to engage more in youth. Because one thing I also say is, with us, we're supposed to do things are totally different for our country to evolve, because what it means is we didn't need to have failures at school for in the first place. We didn't supposed to make English, even if it's compulsory.
You're
not supposed to fail English, because you know it's just a medium of communication.
It does not do the job.
It doesn't do the job, but I can be here speaking proper English today. My friend, the person who cannot even speak English can make the
Can design.
They can remove that engine and then reassemble it together. By then, you are just speaking your good English, but you can't even
can't do nothing.
No, it's true.
It's true.
We're supposed not to have failures. People that are failing, let's just say, if you don't make it to 25 points, go for youth training, and then maybe you can even go to security guards, and then you can have security guards who are trained, who are performing better jobs.
It's true. You are making sense. Even if you have a skill, you just have a skill. Even if you have that post, people don't know about that.
A person was born, then that person is just dumb. No, there's not a dumb person.
Yeah.
Okay. We are not really
people. Okay, it's time now. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, my boss.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, cool. No, it's a very good thing. It's a very good observation, especially when you look at the future. And I want you to listen to our leaders, not only our leaders, and also those who are in charge of planning for Namibian development, to say, me, I will not be happy when you are planning for my 5 years. I'll be very happy when you are building an industry that, will save us for a very long time. I will not be happy when you are very good at securing deals, because we have seen things. We have seen people secured oil deals, fish quota deals. But where are they? Where are they? Where are they now? We have seen people who are very fast at the sale. No, guys, let us move fast. By the time they wake up, these deals are closed. Yes, it can be done. But other countries are saying, in the next 10 years, we are starting a foundation. In the next 20 years, this is what we build. But believe me, and this is how it has been. Somebody who was practical at planning, let me say NDP6. Just for example, by 2027, NDPC is not the concern. The concern is campaigning. People are now thinking about their political career. They are realigning. But that is opposite of what it has been presented to say. Isevis, I'm sitting here. Isevis, I'm planning and I'm putting these resources here. If you go now to the books of Auditor's General Office, how the book have been presented, how many people were not accounting for resources? How many people were not accounting? You give me 20 million, I report about 15. The other 20 disappeared. Even if they just come and say, no, this is it's a financial report. You are supposed to account for this. You must change. And they will not come and arrest you. Millions are getting lost every day. But we are speaking about prosperity. We don't want prosperity in the next 5 years. We want Namibia to be secured. When you speak about, you know, I was very, very much touched, especially watching the match of Brave Gladiators. It was an impressive match. And I just hope those stadiums were already done. And I just hope they are built for the future, not built just to present, they are built for the future. I just hope they are already done, because what those ladies did, it was incredible. It was really, really good. But the question is that, are we moving somewhere? So dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation.